is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Ukraine crisis. Madrid meeting of NATO. A document, strategic concept document, providing us a map as we go forward in the 21st century about the contest with the Russian Federation and what NATO sees as what is necessary, what must be done to provide security now absent. I welcome Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, and my strategic colleague to help me understand some of this document, which promises confrontation not only for this summer and winter coming in Europe, but for these next decades. The world is dividing again, but not in any fashion similar to what we saw in the 20th century when ideology was said to be the separating links. No, this is about everybody's a capitalist. This is about fuel and food. Gregory, a very good evening to you. I report to you that the food and fuel crisis is global. NATO recognizes that. There are many nations, such as Pakistan, who remain neutral in the contest in Europe, but are not neutral in the shortfall of energy. They don't have enough energy to sustain their grid, and they're experiencing brownouts and blackouts routinely. And food prices. In Lima, the capital of Peru, what we have now is a soup kitchen that's had to double its price to the poorest people. These are two pieces of the earth that are not part of the war in Europe, but they are. So I come to the strategic concept document and ask for your help to interpret it. Strategic environment is the subsection, paragraph 6. The Euro-Atlantic area is not at peace. The Russian Federation has violated the norms and principles that contributed to a stable and predictable European security order. We cannot discount the possibility of an attack against allies' sovereignty and territorial integrity. Strategic competition, pervasive instability, and recurrent shocks define our broader security environment. The threats we face are global and interconnected. My reading of this reminds me of your remark recently that the reason that the U.S. is engaged so profoundly in Ukraine conflict, which is a small country far away that is not a member of NATO or the EU, is that Russian success threatens the Atlantic that we regard as a buffer between us and Eurasia. Have I read it correctly? Good evening to you, Gregory.
Good evening, John. Well, yes, partially that's the reason. The reality was that NATO ceased to have a viable mission after 1991. It was created to defend Western Europe against the Soviet Union. And when the Soviet Union disappeared, then the need for NATO disappeared. So it really lusted along for the subsequent 3 decades in search of a mission. And the latest Secretary General of NATO, Jens Stoltenberg, became more and more an advocate for NATO by whipping up the claims of the threat of war and so on. There wasn't really a threat of conflict. There wasn't even a threat of an invasion of Ukraine 18 months ago, as we saw the Biden administration preparing to take office. But once the Biden administration came into office, we saw this campaign build up and build up to literally encourage Russia to or goad Russia into attacking Ukraine. So I believe if we hadn't had this change of government in the United States, we wouldn't have seen this war occurring today. Now, okay, it's occurred and we have to live with that. And now we've driven Russia into being an aggressive adversary. We've created literally Cold War II. But this time we aren't defending the European countries because now they are left literally without their energy supplies and literally without strategic viability. And while the US is preparing to put more troops into Europe and more funding, vast amounts of funding into supporting Ukraine in its defense against the Russian attacks, the reality is that we haven't increased security one little bit. The NATO of today isn't the NATO of the 1980s. In the 1980s, NATO was an incredibly well-focused machine, which really did help to achieve its objective, which was to break up or bring about the downfall of the Soviet Union. The forces of the NATO member states were all at high levels of alert. They were tightly integrated in their operating doctrines and in their communications and intelligence and the like, and in their overall war planning. NATO today is totally disunified. Its member armed forces, including those of the United States, are well and truly under-resourced. They have reserves of ammunition and operating spares and the like, in some cases down to only a few days' worth of capability. So this glorious propaganda document, jingoistic document that it is, from which was prepared by Stoltenberg, who theoretically should not have any role at all in policy in NATO. That's not his job. He does not have that mandate. NATO's policy is determined by the individual governments of the member states, and not by NATO itself. NATO as an organization has no real assets of its own. But we see this new policy document as being one which is creating a new enemy, creating a durable new enemy that we have to fight and have to build against. But the reality is that the structure behind the document is non-existent. Germany couldn't fight for 3 days if it had to go into war. It was criticized for being late in the delivery of even arms to Ukraine. And that was because Germany really didn't have the reserves of materiel. Its vehicles, its tanks, its aircraft mostly were inoperable. They're in terrible shape. So this sort of rallying behind the new NATO is something of a joke. And it's causing a massive distraction from the real challenge, which is in the Indo-Pacific region. And that's something which NATO, okay, is attempting to address, but it has no concept of how to do it. It has no mandate in that area. So it's really an embarrassment, and God knows where this is going to take us in terms of increasing instability.
I go to paragraph 8 of the strategic concept document. The Russian Federation is the most significant and direct threat to Allied security and to peace and stability in the Euro-Atlantic area. It seeks to establish spheres of influence and direct control through coercion, subversion, aggression, and annexation. It uses conventional, cyber, and hybrid means against us and our partners. Its coercive military posture, rhetoric, and proven willingness to use force to pursue its political goals undermine the rules-based international order. The paragraph then goes on to name the threats to our east and south. Also, in the high north, Russia's capability to disrupt Allied reinforcements and freedom of navigation across the North Atlantic is a strategic challenge to the alliance. It mentions Moscow's military buildup, quote, including in the Baltic, Black, and Mediterranean Sea regions, along with military integration with Belarus, challenge our security and interests. Gregor, we've talked about this before. This document is taking on a landscape of vast proportion, and you're indicating that it is not armed in order to patrol this. How is it seen from Moscow? Because this looks like there's a plan here to put in place to militarize the whole frontier from the Arctic to Africa.
Well, the good news and the bad news is that neither Russia nor the NATO states are in any shape to fight a war of the scale that they would have been able to fight during the Cold War, in other words, up until 1991. Russia, yes, it's been very innovative in terms of rebuilding its economic and industrial base after the Cold War, but it is still very, very limited in its capacity to project power on a sustained basis out of region, certainly not globally. Yes, they've got global capabilities with missiles and with diplomacy, but they can't sustain a major conflict for long periods. But then neither can the European powers, and to a degree, neither can the United States. So this is a battle between either sclerotic old men or strategic midgets at the moment. And we are tempting fate by pushing into this new war on the Ukraine front.
The Black Sea Basin in particular, because that's where Ukraine is in the blockade. Mm. Has this document changed the situation in the Black Sea? It's talking about placing warships in Romania. It's talking about Turkey being drafted in some fashion into the contest because it was Turkey that approved the addition of Sweden and Finland so far. If it goes through, the Turkish parliament must endorse it. So is the Black Sea Basin, I'll just come to that scale, is the Black Sea Basin now permanently at the watchtowers and that we can qualify any prosperity now because they're at war?
I don't think so. I think the Black Sea region is a limited warfighting arena between the great powers, at least. Yes, there could be lots of small-scale operations, but the reality is that Russia can dominate a lot of the Black Sea, so can Turkey. NATO itself would put its assets at risk if it put a lot of maritime assets into the Black Sea. So it's going to be a very difficult situation. The reality with Turkey, of course, is that Turkey is beholden both to NATO and Europe and to Russia, and it's trying to walk a fine line there. It actually wishes to support Ukraine against Russia because it would love to punish Russia. But on the other hand, if it does punish Russia, then the Turkish economy can be brought to its knees very rapidly. And at this particular time, and for the next year or so, as we see the run-up to the Turkish elections, Erdogan, the president of Turkey, is in a very, very weak situation. His economy is absolutely bankrupt. The Turkish lira is at an all-time low, and the president's popularity is diminished. So he is going to be making moves of a populist nature, trying to whip up support for Turkish nationalism, which is why he resisted the entry of Sweden and Finland into NATO, because it gave him something of a grandstand to appear to be defending Turkish interests. But really, Turkey is in a difficult situation, and I think we won't see much more change there until the next elections, where Erdogan, if the elections aren't fully rigged, will be thrown out of office.
Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, commenting on paragraphs in this strategic concept document from Madrid 2022 meeting of NATO. We turn next to the Indo-Pacific, as Gregory indicated, the real struggle, and the People's Republic of China. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.